Right now, it's time to join with Ryan Ross and Real News here on Robinhood Radio. And the news keeps getting stranger and stranger, Brian. I mean, when are countries going to learn, and this includes the United States and other countries, that when you get mired down in something like Russia now is mired down in Ukraine, there is no end unless you pull out. There just isn't. And these comments by Russia saying that they're going to refocus on different portions and they're trying to open up zones so people can get out of a city that's been basically wiped off the face of the earth. It's just, right. It's amazing. It's amazing.
You know, and you wonder, there was Putin, had he miscalculated, or was his goal all along to do this? Because if he can take a good chunk of the eastern part of Ukraine, he'll have the part of Ukraine that produces huge amounts of oil and natural gas.
I think that everybody's repositioning their forces now. And I'll be honest with you, I think that the Ukraine fighters, they're not going to get back at the Donbas region, those two separate states that they've been fighting for years and years and years. And they're not going to get back all of Crimea. But I think they're going to hold on to that major western, southwestern, southeastern link that they need to stop Russia from doing that. I just think the way they're fighting defensively, the old adage is it's always much easier if you have the might and the ability to fight defensively. You can take something, but as the Russians have learned, to hold on to it after you take it in another country is another case at all.
Exactly right. And what can't be calculated sit around tabletop exercises like I imagine Putin tried to do is the will of the people you're trying to subjugate. And he miscalculated there, and both the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal this morning are reporting the same thing, so I assume this comes from U.S. sources, that Putin's military misled him and told him things that weren't true, and he's still being told things that are true. And there's an information gap in terms of what he's being told by his generals and his intelligence officers and what is the reality on the ground. And that's what the U.S. Believes is the case, and they're leaking that out to key newspapers this morning. So we'll see if that's the case, and if that's so, what does Putin do about it?
Well, it reminds me back when I was much, much younger in the Israeli and Egyptian conflicts. And in one of those conflicts, Nasser, who was the leader of the Nasser, his military was telling him exactly opposite what was going on the battlefield. Exactly opposite of everything. They were saying they were having great successes, and of course that was the five-day war where Israel routed the Egyptian forces.
If that's what's happening there, that reveals another huge issue inside the Russian government. Likely what we're going to see are great purges at some point inside Russia. I mean, they're going to have their own shakeout of what happened here. Talks resuming tomorrow in Istanbul. We'll see where that goes. I'm not sure, and very few people are very optimistic about that happening. Zelensky says he is. We'll see.
Well, it's a tragedy that has been unfolding, but it's downturn very predictable. I think just about everybody thought that Russia was going to just come in and do a cakewalk. But what I always said when I looked at this map, Ukraine is a totally different beast than where Russia went in and took over some former members of the USSR that had split off. This is a totally different beast, and this is following exactly what Russia has done in their last two incursions into Syria and things like that. It's when they can't get what they want, it's just scorch the earth to destroy whatever they can destroy.
Yeah, it's brutal, and I think that harkening back to the President Biden's speech and his famous nine-word ad lib, I was happy that he finally did not walk back what his aides tried to do. Me watching all that unfold on Saturday, I thought the White House press office or whoever was talking to reporters did a disservice to their boss by trying to suggest that he didn't know what he was talking about. because finally when he got in front of cameras on Monday this week, he said, I don't regret saying that at all. I'm expressing moral outrage. And, you know, you look at the one of the things that happened there, his key press secretary, Jen Psaki, she was not on the trip because she had tested positive for COVID. So she wasn't there to sort of steer what happened. And somebody inside the White House or a group of people panicked and thought, we've got to correct what the president said. It left the impression that he wasn't really in control of his thoughts or really in control of U.S. policy. And I thought that I do think today someone should be fired in the White House staff.
Yeah,
I can't believe that Joe Biden is happy about how his staff reacted, how they handled his comments.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. News about Joe Biden, he's considering, according to news reports, here in Connecticut, people know that the Connecticut legislature is going to, for 3 months, get rid of the 25-cent a gallon tax on gas. Dutchess County is going to lower their tax on gas. They can't do it till June. New York State is going to take off their money that they tax on gas. And now Biden is considering releasing 1 million barrels of oil per day from our strategic reserves. That obviously means he's going to allow the oil companies to ramp up their production of natural gas and oil. And yes, I would like the environment to be clean. But I think these are all things that have to be done to keep our economy flowing. That way, you know, Brian, I've always said during rough economic times, the biggest thing you can do for the American population is to cut down the cost of energy, because they'll take that money that they save that they're spending on energy and put it into rent, into food, into health care.
Absolutely right. And certainly that's, you know, one of the keys. As Mr. Biden and his political aides look at the polls, he's doing terribly, really terribly. He's blamed for everything, and he barely has a majority in favor of how he's handled COVID-19, despite the fact that here we are 2 years after a time when we were all essentially huddling in fear in our homes. We are back out. I was out in restaurants in New York this week. The masks are off. The checks for vaccinations are off. You know, it represents its own problem. If there's another way, will we ever be able to reimpose any of those masks or vaccination sort of centers, which they're trying to shut down? But the fact that Joe Biden doesn't get any credit for that among the majority of people, he should be, you know, in the 60% range. He and his aides, with some fits and starts, did kind of wrestle this pandemic along with the help of a lot of doctors and natural occurrences, but, you know, it's better. There's no doubt about it.
And there's no doubt about it that the World Health Organization, our CDC, everybody, this was a learning experience going along back from 2 years ago to now. It's funny because Joe Biden gets blamed for oil prices. Somebody put a very funny meme up on social media, and they listed the oil prices per gallon or per liter in all the other countries. And said, does Joe Biden get blamed for this as well?
exactly right.
This is what's going on right now with the pandemic and with what Russia has done has put the worldwide economy into a weird place. You folks, would you rather be living in Europe right now where they're facing the fact that, you know what, they have to cut off if they finally – They have to cut off their supply of Russian oil because, you know what, that's they have to stop this big monster. Just imagine if you lived in Europe right now, how much tougher of a decision this is.
With talk of gas rationing in Germany, you know, we know they love their cars and the autobahns and speeding around, and you know, there's a pain that's being inflicted on them, and that's to me fascinating. Nowhere near the pain being inflicted, on the people of Ukraine, of course,
yeah.
And we see, you know, American corporate citizenship. Huge numbers of American companies have pulled out. Down at Yale, Jeffrey Sonnenfeld at the School of Management there, their business school, has been keeping track of the companies that have actually pulled out, the ones that have done spin and PR pulled out, and the ones that are sticking to their guns. And his list, which has gone viral among CEOs, has pushed that number pretty high to American companies that have gotten on board and are pulling out of Russia. You know, I guess they can go back if there is some sort of peace agreement and Russia ever pulls back. But I don't think, and you tell me what you think, Marshall, that the normalcy for Russia, dealing with Russians, will in our lifetime ever return to normal.
No, it's going to go back to the way, even worse than the way it was in the Cold War, not necessarily in the Cold War status, because we're going to have that Cold War status back again. But it's not only the United States, it's probably 75% of the rest of the world is not going to believe anything that they hear. I think the only thing that's going to change it is when Putin goes away, and that's not going to be for a long, long time.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Russia is in a very bad. Yeah, they're in a very bad place economically, and also now they've shown the lack of strength of their on the field military. All they have, all Russia really has, is the world's largest gas station, and they have nuclear arms. Really, that's about it.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah. Now I've got to do this because I have to ask you this. I think one of the biggest faux pas in African-American relationships happened when Will Smith on stage slapped Chris Rock and really set it gave credence to the people that are racist even more, and also it exposed the Academy where they're going to have to make some serious decisions, because that little slap doesn't deserve to be talked about as much as Ukraine, but that little slap is a slap heard around the country on both Black America and White America.
Without a doubt, and it was crude, and talking to some people that said, you know, we're all a little tense, we're coming off the pandemic, and that which might have slid by before did not, and it's just a part of a barometer of how we're feeling as a country. You know, we're not patient anymore, and Will Smith wasn't patient, and you know, acted like a bully. Although I see polls that see most Americans blame Chris Rock for his joke that he deserved to be slapped, which is stunning to me. But that's what people think.
Well, it's an amazing situation, and we'll see how the Academy handles it, because they've got to do something. Well, it's a strange world that we live in, with news where you can compare the Academy Awards and mention in the same breath with Ukraine, but that's unfortunately the world we live in.
Right, and I'd rather have those problems than having a foreign country invade us. So, in terms of the reality of what matters, the Will Smith thing is of interest, but it's not the same as what's happening over in Ukraine.
Brian, always great to speak to you. We'll see what develops in the next week.
All right, next Thursday. Can't wait for it, Marshall.
All right, take care. Brian Ross with Real News this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. And you can find Brian on our website, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.